right? I was thinking about that, and you know, here's all of these cardinals who came to elect him from all over the world, and they represent that universal church. And, you know, so many countries, so many languages, so many rites even, so many histories, each place delightfully different. And what a challenge to pastor the universal church, huh? And even that, you know, many places the church is being persecuted, some places by other religions, so oftentimes by the government in the lands in which they live. The church is a rather complex and huge institution on one hand and body of people on the other. It is the body of people, the body of Christ on earth that is the universal church. And this Sunday reading help us to recognize some of the challenges that are ours, actually, as being a part of the universal church. So it's not only the Pope's headache and challenge, it's ours as well, because we all need to take responsibility for the church that we enjoy. The first reading told us, because there arose no little dissension and debate. So they didn't agree with each other right off the bat, right, on some of the issues. And they can't say in the Acts then, it was decided Paul and Barnabas and some others would go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So immediately they set up a kind of structure or process by which differences would be addressed and the truth sought. The collective body of the apostles and the elders wrote, "It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any undue burden other than these necessities." And the list they have is not great, right? Sometimes we're a little more guilty of trying to place extra burdens on others, but that was not their intention. Notice the two centers of authority, the Holy Spirit and the gathering of the apostles, who together form the decision-making body, if you will, of the Christian community. It was true then in this first council of Jerusalem, and it is true today. The second reading had this image of this city of God coming down out of the clouds, right? And it's built out of the foundation of the apostles. The gates describe the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, it's not just one group of believers replacing another, but there is inclusion. Everyone, even the listing of the names and the numbers that are used in this description of the city, represent an openness to all nations, of all races, all peoples and tongues, into the one body of Christ, as we call it, the universal church. And in the city of God, there were no foreigners then. There were no unwelcome visitors. Everyone is welcome there, as we sing sometimes here as well. There was no need for a temple, for a meeting place with God, because God dwells in the people now. God dwells in each of us individually with the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to us, and God dwells among us collectively as the body of Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus, along with Pentecost, has radically changed and transformed the way we live together and the way we live with God. But you know, we live in a time unprecedented in its polarization of people, in society as a whole, and in the church. Too many of us maintain a spirit of, well, I thought it out, and I'm right. And what happens when we think that way is we limit the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit will do with us and for us. We don't approach others with a kind of prayerful, open hearts that the Spirit encourages, allowing us to comprehend different sides of each issue, as we saw the apostles do, the community building that comes to us because of dialogue. The disciples came up with not what do I think, but with humble faith, they talked about the decision of the Holy Spirit and us, we together are the church. Following the church's then first council and subsequent councils and the reforms of the Second Vatican Council, Pope Francis led us into an era of synodality. That is, he gathered people from the widest possible diversity of Catholics in different ages, opinions, and backgrounds to listen attentively together to what the Holy Spirit wishes to do among us. Today's liturgy then really asks us one question. Do we have the humility, courage, and faith to allow the Spirit to permeate us, moving us beyond our cherished convictions into a genuinely new era of dialogue and perhaps that great challenge of change? The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he said, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. Without being open to the Holy Spirit, we cannot be faithful to Christ. Instead of being sure of our own opinion, let us open our minds and our hearts to the unpredictability of the Holy Spirit. We can start with our assumption about peace, which Jesus offers as a gift to us today. Our judgments, who is the enemy? How do we solve issues, address conflicts, and so forth? If we look around us in our culture, in our time, in our place, peace is always associated with force. Look at our favorite movies, our movie stars, our heroes. Look at our TV shows and video games, even the advertisements. It's all about peace through force. But Jesus' peace is not force-based. Peace I leave with you, he says. My peace I give you, not as the world gives it, do I give it to you. What if we actually came together, listening and caring and sharing, to look for other possible solutions that we might not even have considered or been aware of? The apostles, when Christ was with them, they found their peace in getting away to a quiet place with him. But now, the peace comes to them in the midst of their daily life and work and conflicted opinions. The Spirit of God, working through their dialogue, makes the difference. Peter came to that great new awareness in the midst of such conflict and conversation as he proclaims, "I see now that God has no favorites. God simply, universally, and unconditionally loves. This is the Spirit who dwells within each of us." Synodality is the early church flowing from Christ's teaching and brought together with strongly different thoughts and opinions, beliefs, and traditions. They came together to seek the truth and common ground. But peace is not just a church thing. In fact, our deepest prayers and wishes for peace are world-based. This is the gift the people of faith have for the world. But too often we simply go with the crowd and embrace force as our means towards peace. In today's psalm we prayed, O God, let all the nations adore you. Adoring God is following God's way, not the way of the world.